From a solo perspective, where's he been for 7 years? Multi-award-winning male vocalist Michael English is here today with the release of a new solo project.
Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
Certainly remaining on the gospel music scene, but it's been 7 years since we've had a solo project from him. Michael English is my guest today, and we welcome Michael to the studio to talk about this highly anticipated new project that I know your fans, Michael, have been waiting for. But you look at the whole of gospel music, and you look at the stamp you've placed on this field, whether you go back and talk about Singing Americans, times working with Rusty Goodman and the Goodmans, mm-hmm. your time, obviously, with the vocal band, and now the five-member vocal band. You've had so much involvement in Christian music and gospel music that we're excited to see the creativity and to hear your voice on this new project, Some People Change. So welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Daniel.
So what goes into a 7-year solo sabbatical, maybe, of recording, and then you come back? How long was the was it a 7-year process of collecting music, or was it a 6-month process?
No, Jay DeMarcus, my producer, helped me. Together we produced my gospel record, which was done about 11-12 years ago. Yeah. Which is honestly still my favorite record, because it was just one of those type of records where I took great old songs and made them new, called gospel. So Jay and I got together and said we need to do another record. And let's do a gospel sequel, if you will.
Yeah.
And that's what it started out to be. So we were thinking, trying to find some of the older songs. I'd Rather Have Jesus, which did make it on this record. And I started writing down songs. And then it just kind of, he started bringing in some, a few new and different kind of stuff. And so it kind of went away from that. But it hasn't been, it's not been one of those type of things where it's taken 7 years to find the songs. It's just, it's just one of those things, I don't know why. I still don't remember why it's taken so long to get one done. But anyway, I think since I joined the Gaithers, I hadn't had any chance to do anything but learn their stuff.
Right,
so
right.
The last 5 years, that's what I've been doing. But I knew I needed a new material and stuff. So, Jay and I really got really, stubborn
exactly
about finding the songs and trying to get it done as soon as possible.
Yeah, I imagine it would take that. You've got a young daughter at home. You got a family. You're a grandpa now too. And then you've got
a grandpa of two.
Of two. Wow.
Yeah.
And then you've got the Gaither Vocal Band thing. I mean, and so the vocal band's a machine that's putting out new music, learning new things, shooting new videos. So you've got, you could stay busy enough, I imagine, just with vocal band work. So yeah, I could see where, in a sense, it might kind of get pushed to the back burner. But we're so glad that the time was taken to put this out. It starts off with a great upbeat. I just love the licks of this song, and that's Ain't Giving Up on Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where would you find that one?
Actually, I heard Wilburn and Wilburn.
Yeah.
Steve Ladd, my good friend Steve Ladd, he wanted me to hear Jordan Wilburn sing. He just said, I want you to hear this guy sing.
Yeah.
So he played me I Ain't Giving Up on Jesus. Loved it. Loved his voice. Got to know Jordan. And then, through the process, of looking for songs, we came down to the end. We needed another up-tempo song. And I don't remember really how that came up, but I think Kevin, my road manager and manager, said that, you ought to think about doing this. And so I sent it to Jay, and Jay knew the song. Well, no, actually, Jay didn't know the song. Gary LaVox, his, with Rascal Flatts.
Oh, right.
Jay played that for him. And he goes, dude, you don't remember that? We got pitched that song. So they almost did this song. It was perfect for me. In fact, I was talking to Les Butler the other day, and he said he had heard the song before, and he thought this would be a great song for Michael English. Now, that's what he said. So that's a great story, too.
I ain't giving up on Jesus. He ain't giving up on me. Ain't nothing gonna come between us. I ain't giving up on him.
Listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Michael Linglish is my guest today as we're listening to the new project, Some People Change. And let's go right to that title track. What's the message behind this song that you hope people realize? And is it a message that some circles are afraid to even speak because it puts us too vulnerable?
Yeah, well, I think so. But you know what? And everybody knows that knows me, my music, knows my story. And, or, you know, 90% of the people, I'm sure. And I'm just, I just tell it like it is. I have nothing to hide anymore. It's kind of all been out there.
Right.
And God's given me a boldness to be able to go out and tell people about my life and what's happened and all my mess ups. This, when we were looking for song, looking for a title for the record, I didn't want this record to be a themed record. I wanted it to be fun. I wanted to have a good time. I wanted to tell stories. I wanted to minister, but I didn't want it to be a themed record about my life and my mess ups. And so when we were looking at Some People Change for the name, I was trying to, I was shying away from that because I didn't want it to be like, oh, Michael English. Okay, I know what he's saying. Yeah. It's not really that. It's because this song is not necessarily about that. This song is about what I dealt with growing up in North Carolina, with racism and alcoholism, and it's just there's not a greater message right now, and I know it's you know that's a touchy subject when you're talking about racism, but it's stuff that I grew up with, and it's stuff that I don't tolerate and I don't enjoy really talking about that much because like Morgan Freeman said, I don't talk about racism because racism is, you know, it just needs to be forgot about.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, it's going to always be a part of our lives, I'm afraid. But still, right. I'm glad I had a song that really, for the first time, touched on it.
Yeah, that's good. It's important. And when you communicate, you do it so well in this project. Here's that cut. It's the title track, Some People Change. Michael English, now on Daniel Britt and Friends.
His old man was a rebel yeller, bad boy to the bone, he'd say. Can't trust the other fellow, and he'd judge them by the tone of their skin. He was raised to think like his dad, narrow mind full of hate, on the road to nowhere fast, till the grace of God got in his way. And he saw the light, hit his knees and cried and said a prayer. Rose up a brand new man and left the old one right there. Here's to the strong, thanks to the brave. Don't give up hope, some people change. Against all odds, against the grain, love finds a way, some people change. She was born with a mother's habit, I guess you could say it's in her blood. She hates it that she's gotta have it. She fills her glass up. She'd love to kill that bottle, but all she could think about is a better life, a second chance, and everyone she's let down. And she throws that bottle down. Here's to the strong.
Thoughtful dialogue, engaging music, and the laughter of the redeemed. This is Daniel Britt and Friends.
Come up again forever. chains, never to return to the people we were before that great day.
Listening to Some People Change. It's a project. In fact, this new release here is simply incredible. This entire project, I love it. I've listened to it so many times, Michael. And you know, when you get a lot of music, when you work around music, you hear a lot of music, and sometimes there's not enough time to go back and listen to something a second, third, fourth time. But this is one for me that I have. I've digested it, and I love the project. You even have a bonus track here from a Hank Williams project. I know Benji Gaither was involved in, and even Bill producing this. This song, and so that's from a movie, right?
Yes, Benji Gaither did a movie called The Last Ride. It was about Hank Williams' last ride in the car, and from the driver's perspective, I think. And so he, of course, when you think of Hank Williams and you're doing a movie, you're going to put "I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry" in the movie.
Yeah.
And I think that's his greatest song of all. I think that's his best song. And I'm honored that I was picked to do it.
Wow.
Because Wes is singing on it on the soundtrack
right.
too.
Yes.
But I'm just glad I got to do this. Now it's really weird because really we didn't do this song to put on my record.
Right.
It was to put on, but it ended up being Curb ended up doing the soundtrack.
Yeah.
So, and Curb is my record company.
Right.
So it just kind of worked out. Some people listen to it and go, wait a minute, that's a curveball.
Yeah.
And it really is. Because I probably wouldn't do it in any concert.
It's a bonus track.
It's a bonus track, you know? So anyway, but I'm, you know, it's pretty cool. Cause I remember, I'm telling you, growing up in North Carolina in a little small home, in Warsaw when I was growing up, I heard, Hank Williams' cut of the song.
Wow.
And I was probably, for the first time, I was probably no older than 6-7 years old. And I cried. The first time I heard it, just cried as a as a kid. And I, that's one thing I remember growing up in that old home. So it's kind of, you know, kind of special to me.
The midnight train is winding now. I'm so lonesome I could cry.
Now, movie soundtracks, you're not a stranger to, right? Because weren't you on with the vocal band and the Apostle?
Well, yeah, they did the There's a Rivers on there. Right.
Yeah.
And I think I'm on that. But that was after I'd left them. But still, it was my cut.
Yeah.
And also was on a Winona Judd. I did a duet with Winona Judd.
Right.
For Healing. It was called Healing for Silent Fall. Silent Fall, I think is what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Great movie with Richard Dreyfuss and Liv Tyler.
Tyler, yeah.
Great. Great, great. It was a great movie, but I mean, that was that was a special thing for me. Yeah. I've never, that was basically the first thing, time that's ever happened. So
wow.
I was just like, wow, this is cool. I went to the movie theater to see it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
And it plays at the very end, people starting to leave. And so we're like at the end of the, at the end of the song, we're the only ones left in there.
And speaking of the vocal band, they joined you on this particular cut of a remake of the Happy Goodman's classic. Now, most people would say, okay, if you're going to remake a Goodman song, pick maybe one of their lesser known songs to remake, you know, because when you deal with a sugar stick, like I Wouldn't Take Nothing for My Journey Now, I mean, you got to either do it better or totally different. And it's going to be hard to do the better part.
Right.
So you kind of chose the totally different, right?
Boy, did we ever. I mean, I had... This was one of those songs that would have been on like a gospel sequel, right?
Yeah.
And and I've just always loved taking old songs and making them new. And so this was my idea to do this song, just to pay homage to Rusty Goodman, for one thing, and the Goodmans, and my love for the Goodmans growing up as a kid. Never imagining that I would ever be a part of the Goodmans in 1982, I was. But I thought about this song earlier on, and I had my mind set on how I was going to do it. It wasn't going to be this far out.
Mm-hmm.
But as we were in there, Tim Akers, who played the keyboards on this record, who plays keys for Rascal Flatts, he said, "What do you think about this?" And he sat down at a little Wurlitzer and started coming up with this type of thing. And it kind of reminds me a little bit of a Sheryl Crow type.
Yeah.
I don't know how to say it, but anyway, it was basically his idea. We weren't going to go that far out with it. Yeah. But as he was doing it, it's hard for me when I hear something funky like that to say no to, you know.
Yeah, rain it
so,
in, right.
So we did it. And it didn't, you know, it's one of my favorite things on the record. Some people, you know, I know how the older crowds are. They don't want you to mess with their songs.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Don't. Right. That's not recognizable. But the message is still the same.
Yeah.
You know, and I like making them new, man.
And the vocal band joins you and Gene McDonald on here.
Chip Davis, a good friend of mine, great singer. Yeah. And it's just it's one of those. It was a great moment on this record, I think.
Michael English, now on Daniel, Britt, and Fred.
Well, I would take nothing for my journey now. I gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tell me and he tried to turn me around. He's offered everything that's got a name. Wealth I want and the worldly fame. If I could tell, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Started out traveling for the Lord many years ago. Had a lot of heartache, had a lot of grief and woe. Well, when I would stumble, then I would humble down. And then I would say I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I wouldn't take nothing.
but somehow, though the devil tempted me and he tried to turn me around, he's offered everything that's got a name, wealth I want in the world of fame, but could still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. The place of God's love, no. A silver and gold could never buy money touch from above. Oh, if my soul is healing and I begin to feel his power, I can say thank the Lord I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now, now. I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempted me and he tried to turn me around, around. He's offered everything that's got a name, the wealth I want and the worldly fame. If I could still, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Yeah. I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempted me and he tried to turn me around. Still, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now.
Christ alone will I glory, though I could pride myself in battles won, for I've been blessed beyond measure, and by his strength alone I overcome. And oh, I could stop and count successes like diamonds in my hands, but those trophies could not equal to the grace by which I stand. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. In Christ alone will I glory, for only by I am redeemed, and only his tender mercy could reach beyond my weakness to my needs. Oh, and now I seek no greater honor than just to know him more, to count my gain to the glory of my Lord. Oh, in Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory,
is Christ alone.
You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Michael English is here with me today as we're listening to the project Some People Change. Michael, take me into the studio. And I think I've seen photos of some of these tracking sessions you had there. I think it was at Jay's studio, right? Yes. And it's kind of in a suburb there and kind of in a house.
Yes, down in his basement.
And kind of a dimly lit place. Yep. You say dimly lit, you start thinking about the old executives in New York in the back rooms with the cigars. So it wasn't smoke-filled.
But there's no windows.
But there's no windows, dark. And so is it sometimes like you're trying to create this sound or this magic, but yet you're not singing to an audience, so you don't know if it's getting past the control board? I mean, what's it like for you when you're in the studio? Because I know there is a lot of technicality that goes along with it, and sometimes that might, does that ever squelch the art?
Well, I don't know if this is what you're asking, but I love a vibe. And as you were saying about, of course, we didn't have cigars and the smoky stuff going on.
Yeah.
But when I did my Freedom record, there was a producer, Tommy Sims, one of the greatest artists of all time in my book. When he produced it, and he's like one of the coolest cats in the world, you know, he's like, you know, that's cool, man, rock on. And he had like these, lights, the Chili Pepper lights hanging up in the and it wasn't his place. He would just bring this stuff, right?
Yeah.
And it had a all these different kind of lamps. What is that? Lava lamp stuff.
Yeah.
He created a vibe, and that's kind of what Jay's place is like for me too.
Yeah.
Jay tries to create a home that you're comfortable in, and that helps me a lot to be able to feel the music, and not to mention just for Jay. Jay is a fan of mine. You know, he'll tell you is one of the greatest friends I've ever had, but genuinely loves my voice. And so that helps too, to be produced by somebody who loves to hear you do it. It feeds me, you know, if I'm being produced by some, I'm not saying I have it. I've been produced by people who don't like my voice, but I just know Jay. If I'm just being produced by somebody who just says, I've heard him sing, you know, I'll produce him, produce me. It doesn't do anything for me.
I remember seeing you in concert back. It has to be in the 90s. I don't know if it was his pre or post vocal band, but I remember Jay was with you that night. And I think this was around the East to West time that all that was coming out. And I remember I was new in radio, but I was standing there with another station that may have been hosting you, and that DJ, you know, you came on stage and boy, you gave a great concert, and there was a choir behind you. I think it was Columbus, Georgia. I remember him saying, but you know, Michael's, he chews gum a lot because he's a bit nervous sometimes.
This is Jay, right? Saying this?
It may have been Jay, or maybe.
Because Jay and I had a great rapport. Yeah, he was the funny guy. Yeah. I was the straight guy.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And people wouldn't notice it, but you know, do you still struggle with some anxiety in that regard, or have you beat it?
For the most part, I've beat the panic disorder anxiety stuff. I still chew gum because it does keep my juices flowing, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
But I don't need it as much as I used to.
Yeah.
Solos, I feel like I need it more because there's more pressure.
Sure.
With the Gaithers, I could probably not use as much because, you know, I'm not singing all the time and I can constantly be drinking stuff, you know.
Yeah, right.
And I love being taken care of by these guys, you know, because they'll just fill your coke up right up there on the stage, you know. but I deal with a little bit of anxiety when in my solo stuff because that's big pressure, man, because it's all on you to make it work and to make it happen.
Yeah.
So, I still chew, and people, they come to see me sing, they'll see gum.
Well, I remember there's a vocal band video that I wore the VHS out, and it was the one where Mark's in the black and white stripe.
Yeah.
I think it was a praise gathering.
Thing.
But on some of the close-ups, you can tell you get the gum tucked back there singing those.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? I mean, it's not just me. I mean, I think Guy Penrod chews gum.
Yeah.
David chews gum. I can't think of anybody else. I think Mark chews gum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think a lot of people are not saying I started a trend, but I think right. they know that yeah. this yeah. gum helps. And the best gum there is extra, the green kind.
Oh, really?
It will just keep it flowing. Some will just dry out on you in 5 minutes, and it's okay. like, it's worse, you know?
Yeah, right. Well, the reason I'm talking about all of this is to come back here to the project and talking about the vibe, talking about being comfortable, being at ease. Was there a song in particular on the track list here that may not have been a one take wonder thing for you, but it was the easiest for you to cut? It was almost like you cut it and it was almost that first take just made it, you know?
I'd rather have Jesus. See, that song is special to me anyway. There's a story behind that song. I wrote about it in my book with Crystal Lewis.
Yeah.
When I was going through some of my darkest times, I was at a party. Thumbing through the channels, I see mm-hmm. her singing, I'd rather have Jesus, and tried to turn it off. Couldn't turn it off. I was mesmerized by her, not just her voice, but the gospel. Yeah. I think, you know, God was just trying to tackle me. Yeah. But anyway, and after I heard that song, when Jay and I got together and started started doing gospel music again, we were doing that song, and I would just about guarantee the night you came to hear us sing, we did I'd Rather Have Jesus, and we basically did Crystal Lewis's version, and for some reason or another, I don't know why, Daniel, but we didn't put it on my gospel record, but I think it worked out. Because I'm glad I got to put it on this one, and with Crystal Lewis being a part of another song on this record too, it just worked out. But it was one of those songs where you go in, I've known it, I've sung it for years, it's special meaning to me, and it was one of those type of takes.
Rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have him than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. Rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dreadful. Than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than all fortune and fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be
yours to give.
This is Daniel Britt and Friends.
Daniel Britt and Friends, we're listening to the project Some People Change. Michael, you came from a North Carolina family and there was talent in your family. Now that you have your own family, and as we talked about, you have two grandchildren and you've got a daughter. She's what, eight?
Eight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you noticed any talent rising up in your family that you've started?
Megan, my daughter, who has the babies.
Right.
She can sing.
Yeah,
she's but she doesn't want to. Mm-hmm. She can, and she's done some singing, but Bella, all she wants to do is sing. All she wants to do is she's got a. I gave her an iPhone, for her birthday, or for Christmas, and it's on my account, of course. Right. And so, I told her, I said, you can get $10 a month of music.
Right.
And she's constantly calling, is it a month yet? Is it a month yet? It's just music, music, music.
Wow.
When she's in the car with me, she's listening to music. And it's almost to the place where it's irritating because I don't get any chance to spend much time with her because she's all about music.
Yeah.
So I got a feeling that Bella's going to be, and she can sing.
Yeah.
She can sing. I mean, she's only eight, but she can carry a tune. And I think I think she'll end up wanting to do something with music.
Well, this song came across your path. I've heard a bit of the story. You can tell it again here, though, because I think it's such a cool story. The song Stubborn. And it's such a message. And I love the simplicity, even in the production of it, because I think it matches. I mean, the lyric, the voice, it works. And it's just a super song. Leanne Womack cut this song, but you had no idea, right?
No idea. No. Jay, when we were looking for songs, Jay would come. I remember we were doing the Vocal Band record, and Jay would show up at some of these, you know, I can't remember if it was at the tracking session. I think it was the tracking session. And he would show up and say, can you come to the car? He would just drive over, and I'd go to his car and we'd listen through some songs. And that's when I first heard it and I was just blown away. Mm-hmm. That wasn't Leanne Womack's version. It was the demo.
Right.
And loved it. I mean, anybody who listens to this song can't help but to love the song. Just the lyric is just crazy. But so we ended up cutting it. And then I get a call maybe a month later from Ben Isaacson. He wants me to hear a song that he's found. And long story short, I see him. He ends up saying, I've got this song that's been cut before by a country artist. And immediately, I don't know why, but immediately, before he even said the name of it, I just knew it was that song. Mm-hmm. And I said, don't tell me it's called Stubborn. He said, yeah. I said, I've already cut it. And so it's one of those times when you go, it's a good thing. It was supposed to happen. And so that's kind of how that came about. And, wow. And then I heard Leanne Womack's version of it. It's just like, you know, any great song like that is worth doing two or three times. Different artists.
Yeah. Well, and it just speaks of honesty. And if we get real, I mean, we can identify so well. I mean, and like you say, sometimes it takes maybe a dark room to get away so you can get rid of your pretense, because some of us just fake it so much, especially the professional religionists, those of us who need the job. We feel like we have to because people wouldn't accept us. And that's the biggest thing that everybody can identify. If you look out to an audience and you say, everybody here has a secret, and it's a secret so deep and dark that you feel like if it ever made it to the light of day, you'd be suicidal. And everybody can identify with that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But what a payoff at the end, right?
Oh, yeah.
There's a molecule of faith.
There's a whole lot of stubborn in this room. There's a whole lot of pride that won't let go. There's a whole lot of stubborn in this room. It shows no sign of giving up control. I've drawn all the curtains and I've turned out the lights. Scared to death somebody else might see. There's a whole and there's no one here but me. Yeah. There's a whole lot of demons in this room. They want it all and they don't want to share. There's a whole of them believe in fighting fair. Some sit on my left and some sit on my right. They talk so loud it's hard to disagree. I'm surrounded. There's no one here but me. I can't quite remember how to pray anymore. And I can't quite remember what to say anymore. If it turns out I can't
in this room. What they used to call a mustard seed. There's a molecule of faith in this room. In a book that says that's all I ever need. I don't know where it is, but I hope I find it soon. 'Cause nothing else will ever set me free. And there's a molecule of faith in this room. And even though it's much too small to see,
it's too small.
If I had the courage to believe, oh, I'd find the one who left it. Children of Eden, sinners and thieves, come to the river, find your release. Your guilty stains have been redeemed. Remove your rags, you will be free. In the river, come drink your fill. Let healing waters bear away your guilt. Lay down your burdens on that beautiful shore. Tired with battered shield. Come bathe your wounds.
Bathe all
you will be healed.
Yes, yes.
Your heart renewed.
Your hope restored. Just go under the water.
Michael English, Some People Change. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. And this is a great project. We've heard so many great cuts here today. And of course, your website and your, I think, social cam and Twitter and Facebook, they're all involved in working together. Could you imagine going back to the 80s or the 90s, what ways of communicating artists and fans together there are now? I mean, just a website alone would have been miraculous in the 80s, right, but now you get all these different platforms.
All right. It's the craziest thing when I think about it. How, I mean, it's scary too, you know, thinking of Facebook. And yeah. I mean, you can see what Hollywood stars are doing tonight for dinner with their spouses.
Right, yeah.
It kind of blows my mind, you know, that people are get a little bit too comfortable.
Right, right.
Sharing that. Because Bill's always said, you got to leave a little bit to
the imagination.
Yeah. You know, and, but it's hard to do that in this day and time because people expect it and they love it, and you got to give the people what they want.
Well, in a big way, going back to pretense, maybe that's been the helpful side of all this, is it's stripped away some of the pretense.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
People are real, and you get to see that even with the people you idolize.
Right, exactly.
Well, it's been a treat to listen and listen to it with you today, Michael. It's a great project, and you can find it at Michael English
Music.com.
Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, Daniel.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.